Father, we thank you for this great season that we live in today. We thank you for the unfolding mysteries of your will, your wisdom, your kingdom, and your power. We thank you, Lord, that you guide us in the way we are supposed to go. You are ever present with us as God, the Lord, ever present. And your ways are perfect, and you are so good. Today is the greatest day of my life, because in you I live and I move and I have my being. Today is an excellent day. Today is filled with provision. Today is filled with wisdom. Today is filled with joy and peace and understanding. Today is the day of your righteousness. And God, in it we give you praise. In it we give you glory. And in it we say, this is the day you have made for your purpose and your pleasure. And in it we rejoice and we are exceedingly glad. You believe that? Lift your voice and shout, yeah, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Just say it one line like this. I give the Lord a shout. Woo! I give the Lord a shout. Woo! I give the Lord a shout of praise. I love to lift my voice. Hallelujah! I love to lift my hands. I love to bless, bless, bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. If you believe that today, I want you to give the Lord a shout. Let's do it old school. Tap your neighbor and say, hey, man, do you know how blessed you are? I know how blessed I am. And this is, and this really is, the greatest season of my life. You can take your seats. Psalm 77 and verse 13 says, your way, God, your ways, God, are holy. Your ways, God, are holy. Your ways, God, are holy. God is so holy, there's no word in the human language to describe how holy God is. And you should be glad that God is holy. The natural mind thinks about holiness as something that is so separated and so distant from who you are and where you are. But the truth is God made you in righteousness and true holiness, and we're born again into righteousness and true holiness. It's how you're born. You can, a lot of times people think about being a born again as just what a mess we were, and that God just came and cleaned us up and he saved us, and thank God we've got a train ticket home. And there's truth in that. There's truth in that. There's truth in all that. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, but it's more than God fixing a situation. It's God fulfilling his word. It's God bringing you into an understanding that what God wants can take place. What God wants to happen can actually happen. And everyone here and everyone viewing, you're in a particular situation of some kind. You may literally feel emotionally and mentally that this is the greatest season of my life. Some things may have happened for you, and you may just think, man, this is it. God, just keep me here. And some of you may be somewhere on the other side. You may be saying, this is one of the most challenging seasons of my life, and I feel like God's so far away, and I can't wait for this time to be over. I can't wait for this season to disappear. But the truth is, God is ever present, whether you like it or not. And God is holy, whether you like it or not. And God doesn't change anything about his character. He doesn't change anything about who he is or that he is, regardless of what you're experiencing. You may be somewhere in the middle thinking, well, you know, things are not too bad. I mean, I can't wait for them to get a little bit better, but things are pretty par right now. They're pretty all right. I'm okay. We stepped out into the weather the other day, yesterday, and it was 114 degrees. Anyone like green chili, like Hatch green chili? Yeah. I was out there roasting it in 104 degrees the other day. Now, it was a little pain and pleasure at the same time. I couldn't wait for it because I love it. Me and my family, I grew up eating chili, green chili. I like it. And I typically like someone else to roast it, but it wasn't available here, so we had to order it in, roast it myself. And I thought that was kind of fun anyway. But between the heat, 400 degrees heat from the grill, and 104 heat behind me, I was at about 504 degrees. At least that's the way I figured it. And it felt like it was about 504 degrees. And it was hot, but something was being done that I wanted done. You know, I said to my wife, I said, we just have to get it. We just have to. I mean, it's the end of the season, it's perfect time, and I just want it. And so we got it, I'm roasting it, and it's hot. The first 30 minutes is hot, and I'm like, yeah, no big deal. But about an hour on at 504 degrees, my face started to melt. And I'm probably 5 pounds lighter today because of it, so I'm thankful for it. But the heat was so intense, but it was accomplishing exactly what I needed to do. And I couldn't compromise because I was committed, because I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't leave fresh green chili in a box very long. It starts to rot and fall apart, and it's not any good. So it's something that has to be done pretty rapidly, unless you hang it out to dry. And I'm thinking, the situation God has us in is exactly the same. You're in a spot you can't get out of, whether it's really great, somewhere in the middle, or it just seems really challenging. You're in a place that you can't really seem to get out of. You ever been there in a place and you just can't seem to get out of it? So you ask God to get you out. Anybody ever done that? God, just get me out of here and take me someplace. You know, I seek you. How many has ever asked God, your will be done? Not my will, but your will be done. Most people do. And then you get mad at him when he does what you asked him to do. And then you get mad at him because you say he didn't answer your prayer when he did answer your prayer. You say, God, not my will. And God said, perfect. This is a good start. This is a good prayer. God likes that prayer. Not my will, your will be done. The problem is you weren't telling the truth. You really didn't want his will. You're trying to impress God. And that's the truth. You're trying to impress him. God, not my will, your will be done. Not realizing or remembering the scripture that God says, just remember, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Mine are elevated beyond you. Now, we think of getting higher and getting better based on things turning out the way we like them to, where we really don't have to rely on our faith to survive. We really don't have to hear from God to make it through. We like those kind of not my will, your will be done. And what we're really praying isn't your will be done, is it? It's I'm asking for your approval on my will, but I'm using the terminology that scriptures say, so my prayer is in line. But the heart is revealed when God's will is done. When that prayer is answered, and you pray, not my will, but your will be done, your heart is revealed. You begin to know who you are. Jesus said, my ways are higher than your ways. Can you believe God to take you a lot higher? Not a little bit higher, but a lot higher. God said to those that are blessed, he said, I'll give you the inheritance of the land. And I'm talking about the land that we live in. I'm talking about the earth, just like God talked about it. Talking about this season, about this time, we're in the time of great anticipation, and I don't have any greater hope regarding anything that's going on concerning the election or the polls or anything else than I did prior a year or 2 years ago, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is God over the lives of the believers. And if you would see what God is doing and you would realize that all things work together, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Now, that's another one of those scriptures. We like to say it, God, you know, not my will, your will be done, and all things are going to work together for good. But what you're really saying is, God, I can't wait till you get me out of this spot. But then there's another scripture that you have to bring in line with this because it's vastly important. And that scripture is what I just read to you, Psalm 77, verse 13. Your ways, God, are holy, And God doesn't compromise who he is. He doesn't compromise what he is, where he is, or how he is. And if you're listening, you're hearing a word of prophecy right now. But what he does is he does what we ask him to do. God, be revealed in me. God, lead me in the way that pleases you. Anyone ever pray that prayer? God, have you ever said anything like this? I want to please you. Anyone guilty of that prayer, raise your hand. The rest of you leave. Anyone, raise your hand. You ever prayed, God, let me please you? Tony, you never prayed that prayer? Oh, there you are. Now I know why you and I get along so well. God, not my will, your will be done. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said something like this. He said, when you pray, pray this way. We've talked a lot about this, but you need to hear something because it's really important. Jesus is coming. I mean, before you leave this church, he's coming. He is. I hope you're ready. No man knows the day or the hour, but I'm just saying before we leave, Jesus is coming. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
You don't seem very excited. I thought you believed that he could come any moment, any day, or any... If I'm standing here and I'm telling you by faith, now, could we believe Jesus? The word is literally make his appearance. Could we believe him to make his appearance? Could you believe that?
Yes.
And I've heard you believers shouting for years at how excited you were for him to just come and take you home. What you're really asking is come and take you out. I know, you know that, but... And if I tell you he's coming before you can leave the church, I would have expected everyone to erupt in praise and get excited and go, yeah. But you really don't believe it, do you? I've been waiting, 2,000 years? And he said he was coming quickly, so kind of what happened? I guess his time and my time are just two different times. Is that right? It must be, because Jesus only tells the truth. And he said, behold, I come quickly. And here we are. Today, going, when is he coming back? And then the scripture had to throw that one in there. No man knows the day or the hour. But I'm telling you, before you leave here, he's coming. And the word says to anticipate him. And then the word says something like this. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. So take everything you're hearing and just meditate on it for the rest of the day. Because I'm prophesying to you. I'm telling you how to get out of where you are into where you're supposed to be. I'm telling you what Jesus said. He said, I'm coming quickly. He said, there are some standing here. He said, they won't die until they see me returned. I'm coming quickly. Okay? So, Jesus sent himself. He sent his power in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he filled us. So, you could say scriptures were fulfilled in that respect. But there's still a presentation of Christ that we await. I mean, come on. Christ has to make his presentation, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Or do you even know? Anybody read Bible in the last 4 or 5 years? How many know Jesus is coming? And when I woke up this morning, he came. I hope you didn't miss it. He was here. Because he said, lo, I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And then he said something else. He said, I'm going to be there each and every day to lead you and to guide you in the way that you are supposed to go. I mean, what is it we're looking for? What is it we're doing? Now, God's going to do things, and he said, I'm going to do exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think. So religiously, preachers and pastors try to tell everybody what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. He just told you, I'm going to do things you don't know how to even think about, or things you don't even know how to ask. Because God, he's holy. And he doesn't compromise who he is just because you think you're having a hard time. He doesn't compromise who he is. He doesn't change the pattern of his way because his way is perfect. It's like the earth. It remains in the orbit that God has set. And the only reason that the earth does and the solar system does and all of the laws that are enacted in order to keep us alive and breathing and our feet on good old terra firma is that the word of the Lord has spoken it. God has said it. Jesus is coming today. The kingdom of God is coming today. It has to come today. It has to be here today. There has to be a presentation of the Lord. And this is what he said. He said, when people see you, they will see the light of me. They will see you as the light of the world. He said, now it is expedient. It is very important that I leave in the form that you see me in with your eyes today. It's important for you. He said, so you can bear witness as to who I am, and you can see me in a way you've never seen me before. So he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And he said, and you will have power. You will become powerful when the Holy Spirit comes on you from on high. You're going to walk in power from on high. That's the principalities and the powers of God Almighty. Then the word says, God spoke to Abram one day when Abram was 99. God appeared to Abram and God said this. He said, I am the Lord God Almighty. There isn't any other beside me. I am God Almighty. God spoke and also said, you've known me as God, but now you're going to know me as Lord. Lord of who you are. Lord of what you do. Lord of what you believe. Lord of the way things are supposed to be. And Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it. And we've done that for years. We keep seeking the kingdom of God to come down, to come down to the earth. We're waiting for that day, but that's not at all what Jesus said. What he literally said is a Pharisee came to Jesus and he said, show us the kingdom. And Jesus said, wait one minute. The kingdom of God cannot come in a way that can be observed. The kingdom of God, another translation, does not come with observation. You can't see it that way. God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. God is a spirit. What dwells on the inside of us? The kingdom of God. And this is literally what Jesus said. He said, behold, look, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Look. Jesus was literally saying, wait a minute, hang on. Look, it's here. Look, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. See, the creation that God made us wasn't something that it wasn't like a hobby. Like God said, let's do this thing and let's see how it turned out. The word says that God made us in true righteousness and holiness. We're born again of the Father. We're born of the mind of God. God thought, God said, God communicated. Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. You're so incredibly, oh my gosh, you're so blessed of the Lord today. I heard a song today, and this is just me, okay, so don't get upset with me, or you can. It's all right, I love you anyway. But I hear songs when they say something like, you're worthy of my praise, and that just kind of gets me. Like, you're worthy of my praise? Like, who am I that you're worthy of my praise? What I think is, God, I thank you that you accept my praise. I thank you that you allow me to praise you. I thank you that you open my heart and my mind so I can praise you, because God, you are holy. Not a little holy, that's who you are. And your holiness is perfect. Your way is perfect. My God, his way is perfect. Thank you that I know to what. Thank you. Would you receive my praise? And all that Cain did in murdering his brother, the one thing that he had right in his head is it wasn't important what he got from God. He just wanted God to receive what he brought to the Lord. Remember? Just here's the sacrifice I bring to you. And what is that sacrifice today? Sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Well, you know, I'm thanking him with my mouth, but your heart is far from thanksgiving. Here's the real key. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Where do we look? Where do we look for it? I mean, that's a really good, valid question. Where do I look? I mean, do I Is it in the Bible? Is it in the book? I mean, where do I look for the kingdom of God? Is it up in heaven? Well, there's an issue there because he said, if you look anywhere beyond right here, he said, you're deceived. If they say to you, it's coming, or it's over here, or it's over there, he said, they are deceiving you. Listen to what the word said, not what preachers say, not what religion has taught you, not what doctrine tries to inundate you with to keep you weak. Listen to what he said. There's a woman that touches the hem of his garment when people are gathered around him, and she draws virtue from him because she said, it's right here, right now, and the moment I put my hand on the hem of his garment, virtue, power is going to flow into my body. How did she know that? Well, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. That's how you know that. God made you out of his mind, out of his thoughts. We are his image and his likeness. That's literally what it means. God thought about you in a particular way. Every single one of you. None of you are so special that God didn't think about you like he thought about everybody else that he loves. And you know what else? We want to walk in a way we try to determine that we're blessed because things just seem to be coming together. Some of your most unsettling days are some of the most profound days of revelation when the presence of God is so clothing you and so wanting to make himself known to you. But it's like the religious people, when Jesus would do a miracle, they would wait for him to do a miracle so they could condemn him. How blind could you possibly be knowing that man cannot do miracles, so if a man does a miracle, he must be God? But you're so blind by religion and tradition, you're not seeing the glory of God in the room. He's doing a miracle, he must be God. Instead of saying, let's see if he does do a miracle, and if he does, he must be the Son of God. How great would that be? So where do we look? Where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said, it's within. The kingdom of God is within you. So God, who are you in me? Every one of you has a call. Every one of you has a business or a job, or even if you're retired, you have something going on that you want to do. Some people want to retire so they can go do. What is it to do? What is the do? What is the do? Hear the word of the Lord. What is the do that you want done that God wouldn't do if you walked in his favor? God isn't making things difficult. God is securing you. He's making you secure. He's redeemed you. That means God thought about you right the first time. And he wants you now. He didn't redeem him. He didn't redeem the plan. He redeemed you and I. So we would remember how God was thinking about the purpose in creating us for who we are. And what did he say to Abraham? What did he say to Moses? I want to give you the territory. I want to give you the land. On election day, I'm believing God for a revolutionary revelation in the body of Jesus Christ, and we vote God, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, into our lives, and God rules and reigns and speaks and makes himself known. That's the election that you've been chosen into. That's the power. So if I'm seeking the kingdom of God, Jesus made it clear, I don't want you reaching beyond. How high is the sky? It's just beyond me. What does that mean? Just reach up and touch it. The kingdom of God is within you. The Hebrew text means the kingdom of God. That's why we take this rope and do what we do. The kingdom of God is within your grasp right here. That's what he said. The kingdom of God is in your grasp. Can you see where the kingdom of God is so I can do through you what I want to be done? We're waiting for him to come and take us out of here and do with us what he wants. It's not going to happen that way. He's going to do his work in you here. And if you don't get it here, that you're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to be trained by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. And that's what the word says. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what's wrong with that? It's enmity against God. And when God is trying to do something incredible in your life, you can't see it. as God. You see it as an attack or as a problem or as an issue. And what God is saying is, I want you to remember how blessed you are. I bet you remembered your anniversary twice as hard afterwards than you did if you had remembered it the first time. All things work together for good. So the question is God kind of thumps you in the chest and says, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The centurion comes and says, my servant's sick. He's paralyzed. He's in pain. And out of him just comes, just speak the word. Who taught him that? Who said that to him? The kingdom of God. Where do we look for the kingdom of God? Where Jesus said it was, in the midst of you, not beyond you. If you're looking beyond where you are and who you are, he said, then you're not looking at the kingdom of God. You're looking for something to be done to you. And I came to do things through you. I didn't come to show myself to you. I came to manifest myself through you. Remember, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God said it like this. He said, your bodies are my temple. And if you destroy it, you're in trouble with me, because that's my body. That's where I plan to dwell. That's where I plan to make myself known. That's where I plan to make the spirit of who I am manifest in the faith that you are. You pray, God, let your kingdom come, your will be done. And as soon as God begins to present his appearance, he begins to appear to you. You rebuke him, you call him the devil, you want him out, you want to get out of this ark, you just want out of this time. And God's saying, hey, I told you my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher than your thoughts. Embrace this time. That's why James says, hold it, everybody. Count it all joy when you find yourself in all these different times of the types of the trying of your faith. They're there for a purpose. The kingdom of God is trying to appear in you. Count it joy. Look at this time. You know why? We're spoiled little brats. That's why. We're spoiled. We have two cars, we want three. We have three cars and have to get rid of one, we complain because we only have two. We have five pairs of shoes and we had to get rid of one because I wanted seven pairs of shoes and I had to give one away and I tore another pair and spoiled. You're not seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking self-satisfaction. God said, my ways are so high beyond your ways, you wouldn't even know how to think about them if I didn't tell you what they were. And then James says, count it all joy. So where is the kingdom of God? It's in the things you dislike the most. It's in the people you'd get away from if you could. God redeemed people he didn't like. He didn't enjoy us. We weren't pleasing to him. We were a stench. And what did he do? He loved us into favor. He loved us into favor. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the mind of God, like any kingdom. Whatever that providence, whatever that dominion is, it is what it is based on how the king thinks. Whatever the king determines, however that kingdom's going to be run, whatever the rule, whatever the government, whatever the leadership is, it's the mind of the king. So what is the kingdom of God? It's the mind of God. So how would God get this into you so he can get it through you so he can make his appearance? How would he do that? By allowing you to come across these incredible roads like a Red Sea that you couldn't cross, like a wilderness where you couldn't find food. See, what God is doing is he's spoken a word to you. And now he's making that word alive in you. See, when he speaks a word to you, it may not appear to be alive in you because it's just like seed you sow in the ground. He speaks it to you because he calls us the planting of the Lord. That means he sowed a seed. Well, maybe it's not alive in the way you think it is. So what do you have to do? Make it alive. So what do you do to make it alive? You die. The seed dies to what it looks like. It dies to itself. Jesus was as bold to say, you fool, don't you know that except a seed fall into the ground and die, it cannot be born into what it really was created to be. And in that is eternity. It just keeps going and going and going. Let's venture here for just a second. When you die, You're immediately in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Word says. I believe it. When you die, you're immediately in the presence of the Lord. Why? Well, because I'm dead. No, it's not why. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. You didn't even know He was God. Why? Because the moment that your flesh loses its house, its desires disappear, and you are no longer resisting the will of the Father to get your will done. What if that could actually happen? What if you could surrender your will to the point you just, I don't know, lived a while? Does everyone have to die to see God? God's no respecter of persons. I knew of two people recorded in the Word, Enoch and Elijah. They didn't die. Edited the story. Why with Enoch? Because he pleased the Lord. It was testified that he pleased the Lord. The kingdom of God is right in the midst of you. And the kingdom of God is going to do what he said. He's going to ignite old flames with new fire. He's going to set that old wet wood on fire with a new fire and make it what he wanted it to be in the beginning. One time the prophet came to stand as a prophet before God, and they built an altar, and the false prophets built their altar, and they cried out to their God and cut themselves and went on for hours till they were just exhausted. The altar was broken down because of all the chicanery that they created in their offering. When it was finished, Elijah said, and this is that day, Elijah said, we're going to build the altar again. The prophet said, we're going to build the altar again. And God's going to answer us. And he's going to answer us by fire. And we're going to make it absolutely beyond imagination impossible for fire to consume what is soaking wet on the wood and around the trench. But God, my God, because he is holy, and the Lord God Almighty, and because he is holy, that means there isn't anything that can keep him from doing through his holy people what he wills to do. Come Hades, fire, or flood, it just doesn't make any difference. You make it through, but more than that, you are a light to the nations of the earth. And you're making heaven restless in an incredible way, where the angels of God are looking and saying, look at that faith. Look at the Father being revealed through the faith. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the sons of men that you visit him? You make him lower than us, but yet you crown him with such glory. What is this creation? And God says, my dwelling place. That's my house. That's where I make myself known in ways you have never seen me to be known before, in the way that I am making myself known. And I'm doing it through a gift I've given them. It's called their faith. God is going to revive old vision, prophetic word, and he's going to ignite it with new fire. And it's going to be something exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think. The fire of God came down and consumed the altar and the wood and the stones and the water, and even made the trench deeper than it was, because the Word said he licked up the dust. New fire. New fire today. God has given you dominion. In Genesis 1, chapter 6, God spoke and said, let them, meaning you and I, have dominion in the earth. How did God give that to Adam and Eve? How did God give them dominion? What did he give them? He created them. But what did he give them? He gave Moses a scepter. What did he give them? What did God give them? What did God give them? Where did they get this extreme power to rule the earth? And they did. They ruled the earth. Everything was subject to their command. They orchestrated the garden in a way you couldn't imagine. My wife said to me the other day, it was just such a profound revelation. Is it okay if I share it? She said, oh my gosh, we're in the garden. She said, we are in the garden. We don't even know it, but we're in the garden. Look at this. Look, that's what Jesus was saying. You guys are looking all around, but you're not looking within. The kingdom of God is within you. The whole point of Christ coming was to take the distance out of the way, to rent the veil, to get us together. Heaven and earth unite. And we're waiting for a day like God isn't fully God until something else takes place. And then what after that? He is fully God. Jesus, the word says, was empowered. He was in the fullness of the Father. And people rejected him. Nothing will ever satisfy you until you find the kingdom that God placed on the inside of you. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where do they get power? God says, so God makes man, and then he takes woman out of man, and then later on he takes man out of woman. But what is the power? How did he get it to them? That had to be something. My neighbor bought a car, and we were talking about his car. It was a Tesla, and we're talking about his car and about how many miles it would go on the battery. And then he did something strange to get it to do what it's supposed to do. Do you know what he did? Any guesses? He plugged it in. Good job, Anton. He plugged it in. It can do it, but where did it get the power? I already told you in the beginning. Not my will, your will be done. They got their power from the will of the Father by rejecting their own. That's what the tree in the garden was all about. You reject your will and accept mine, you'll be in power. The day that you doubt that the power is within, you lose the power within and you become naked and ashamed. His will is your power. His will is your power. God, not my will, your will be done. And this is what you have to know in order to walk there. The steps of the redeemed are ordered and established by God. And he's going to delight in our ways. He's going to be pleased with you. God saved something, someone, but frankly, he couldn't stand because he loved us into favor. Can you do that? We look for people to be a certain way, to have a certain attitude, to act a certain way, and God keeps bringing them into your path because every single encounter, every event holds the potential for God's purpose and his destiny. Everything, but you'll never see it, and you will undergo difficult times until God just saves you, takes you out because you just won't swim. You just won't take the wings of the morning and fly by the Spirit of God, so he has to set you down and let you cool off. And God's saying, if you just would have known, you could have flown like an eagle. You would run and not be weary. You would walk and not faint. There's a generation that's going to live a long time because they're walking in the will of the Lord, because it's by revelation. Where do we look for the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of God is within you. I will put my spirit in you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. How did they get the power from God when God said, do what I'm telling you to do, and don't do that? Do my will, not your will. That's when you plug into the power. That's where the dominion comes in. That's where the authority comes in. But we have a world of people. Christians are praying for this person and that person. And God, make this person, and make that person this leader, and do this and do that. Why don't you pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Any way you want to do it, do it. We stand up for who we and what we know we should stand up for. We do what we know we should do, if you will. We vote for who we believe we should vote. But what should we really be saying? Not my will, God. Your will be done. And guess what, God? I mean it with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. Jesus overcame in the garden. That's where he took the cross. Father, I have a will as a man. And if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Here's the power prayer. Here's the garden prayer. Here's the dominion prayer in the Garden of Eden. Not my will. Your will be done. So then the serpent comes up to him. His name is Peter this time. And he says, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of men. Who is Satan? The one that savors the things that are of men and not of God. And Jesus said, for this purpose I came into the world. For this purpose I will live, and I will lay down my life, and I will take it up again. I'm telling you today, for this purpose you have come. God has reset the time for you. God has taken the enemy out of the way. You know who the enemy is? Time. Time. He's going to do it later. It's on its way. Someday. This is the day. God has reset the clock to sustain you. God has set and reset the clock to secure you so you can continue to do what God has called you to do and never have to look back and fulfill the words of prophecy that you have had for years by God setting that offering on fire with new fire. The spirit of revelation, to embrace the attitude of revelation regarding the kingdom of God. That's your call. That's where the power is. It's in the sanctuary. It's not in everything else around you. It was when they came into the sanctuary and they honored God, and we have become that sanctuary. It's not about what God is doing on around you. It's about some of those things that you would just get away from as quickly as you could. How loving are you to the people you say you love? How kind are you to the people you think are kind to you? How much do you embrace? How much anointing do you honor in the earth? Given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Your greatest blessing is probably going to be one of your greatest dislikes. Some of your greatest blessings are going to come out of places that you just aren't looking for them at all. If you could get away from them, you would. Why? Because the kingdom of God is all about the will of the Father and not yours. The kingdom of God is about saying, God, not my will, your will be done. And because I know my steps are ordered of you, wherever I find myself, God, you're in the midst of it, and your kingdom is going to be revealed, and something incredible is going to take place. God is renewing your youth. God is bringing life upon the inside of you. Maybe some of you won't have to die at the age you thought you would die. Maybe some of you will walk in such profound power and revelation of the will of God, your body will just be renewed. Maybe you'll get healed just because you're seeking the will of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will come into order. Everything else will line up. You are appointed in the same way Adam and Eve were appointed. You are appointed to authority and power, so God is making himself manifest. So Christ is appearing in you right here, right now. This is the day that God has made. I rejoice in today. Don't take thought about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't have anything for you at all that you don't have today. And what you have today is the opportunity to say, God, you're God. The kingdom of God is within my grasp. It's right here, right now. God be glorified. I pray and I mean it with all my heart. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, not my will, God. Your will be done. And let God lead you. This is what's going to happen. Your life will begin to change. You'll step into places you just don't like. And pretty soon you begin to embrace those places that you didn't like, and they become the cornerstone and the foundation of your faith. You begin to understand that my steps are ordered of the Lord, and he's delighting in my way because I trust him as God Almighty. There's no weapon that's formed against me that's prospering. There's no devil hounding me. There's no demons chasing me down. But an echoing mind of detachment from God, an echoing thought of your past and of how you're not this and you're not that and someday and you wished you woulda, coulda, put it all away, casting off every thought and every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Surrender yourself to the will of God, and God will take care of everything else. God will bring to pass every word God has said. A flame will go up from your altar that will be so evident that people all around the nation will see your fire. And people will come. People of humble means. People of kind hearts. People will take their golden calves and they will melt them and bring them as an offering to the Lord because of the fire God has kindled on your altar, because you have said, God, not my will, your will be done. And I thank you for this time, because what you are doing is you are melting down every idea of idolatry, every golden calf, every silver and bronze, false god, and you have melted it in your fire to bring to pass what you said you wanted to do from the beginning. And on this new fire that lays on this old altar of dreams and prophecies and prayers, as you kindle this new fire, the image that I see in the fire is the cloven tongues of fire. I see the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and it's lighting on me. See, the offering never was about the animal. It never was about the wood. That's never what God received, and he made it clear. It didn't please him. What God wanted put on that altar was the heart of the worshiper. That's what he said to Cain, if you do well, I'll receive you. And when I receive you, what you bring me will be honored, an honor to you. It's so simple. It's like a child. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now as I move into the day and things begin to transpire, I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to cast out. I'm not going to rebuke. I'm going to receive your guidance. I'm going to receive the wisdom from the word of the Lord. I'm going to know how to look through the flame and see God. I'm going to know how to stand in the furnace and see you glorified. I'm going to know how to stand in the pit and see God make everything appeased around me. They will be appeased by your new fire. And not only that, but they will come to worship at your altar because you have sanctified it and said, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. The message is all about the kingdom of God. Always has been. Always will be. The mind of God. Jesus is present right here, right now. He is present in his word. And his name is called the Word of God. Did you see him appear today? Did you see him make himself known to you? God, we praise you, we love you, we worship you, we thank you that you are the Lord ever present with us. Thank you for the holy fire of God that consumes and burns away everything that is unpleasing. And as the fire burns, the favor comes. And it's a uniting of hearts and minds to take the diversities of different people's attitude and ideas, likes and dislikes, and we just say, God, I want your heart. I want your kingdom on the inside of me. Are you ready to make an offering unto the Lord? Are you ready to say, God, I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to take dominion over me. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more considerate. I'm going to be more aware of your presence and your power. I'm going to stop disregarding you for who you are and that you are God ever present with me, that your word is true. And if you told me you're with me always, you're with me always. I believe you, Father. Holy Spirit, you're present in this place. You were here before we came. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell in it. But we surrender in praise and worship and thanksgiving to you, Holy God, only God, my God, only Jesus, only Savior, only Lord, only Redeemer, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Now that you know what time it is, you'll know when things are happening. And you'll see them take place by the second. You'll see God's hand being revealed, the kingdom of God manifest, and you just plugged in. Let's plug in. Stand with me today. Let's do what Jesus said. Isn't that what it's about? Say, great and mighty God, only God, holy God, I pray in the name of my Savior, Lord, and Redeemer, in Jesus' name I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in me, in this earth, as it is in heaven. Be pleased, be praised, be glorified. Let me be as Enoch was, as Jesus was, as Abraham's faith was. Let me be a pleasing experience to you, O God. Let me be a pleasing offering and sacrifice to you. I present myself today, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you. That is my true worship. That is my new mind. In Jesus' name. And the Lord will renew. And the Lord will do. And the Lord will make alive. And the Lord will quicken everything that he has promised. And everything that he has said. And you will bear witness to it because it is happening through your faith in who he is. And your surrender to his will. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. In this word, there is healing. In this word, there is strength and youth and life. In this word is salvation. In this word is dominion and authority and power. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Lord ever present. Today, right here, right now. So let it be, Lord God, according to your word. According to your word. And when the prophet offered the sacrifice before the Lord, bearing witness that God was with him, nothing was left but the favor of God. Because he had made his heart an offering before the Lord. And in that, God gave him dominion over all that was opposed to the will of God. And God's will prevailed. And so it is today, and so it is for you. Receive the word of the Lord. To God be the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. You should expect the most incredible things to take place in your life. For the kingdom of God to unfold in you and through you. God bringing about dimensions to you that you weren't aware of. God giving you insight and revelation about the kingdom of God. This is a day of revelation, God revealing. And in order to do it, he's going to burn up all the traditions of men and all the religious doctrines that deny his ever-presence, his omnipresence, and that he is God and God alone, and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if an enemy comes at you, one, he'll flee seven. And no evil will come nigh your dwelling. And the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow with it. And the favor of God is pursuing you. This is a day of rejoicing. I rejoice. I say rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Give the Lord praise. Father, we thank you for your word today. I won't give any personal prophecy by pointing or calling you out today. I told you in the beginning, the word of the Lord was within the message. Hear it, receive it. You don't have to go and be blessed. You are blessed where you stand. You're chosen. God is so present with you. His power is so prevailing. And God loves you so much that he loved you into his own favor. And this is the greatest season of your lives.